dealt the blow. And you, all of you, are to be special. You are to act differently than others.
You tell us to be gentle, but Rabbi Josiah said Messiah would lead us against the Romans, that he would be a great military leader.
It is important to respect your teachers and honor your parents. And Rabbi Josiah is a smart man. But many times, smart men lack wisdom. Is there anything in Scripture that says Messiah will be a great military leader? There are many things about Scripture that you cannot understand yet. And that is okay. That is fine. You have many years ahead of you. And God does not reveal all things at once. But children, what if many of the things that our people think about how we are to behave and how we are to treat one another are wrong? You want things to be fair. When someone wrongs you, you want to right it. And you know who else loves justice? But what does the Lord say in the law of Moses about justice and vengeance?
Vengeance is mine.
Yes, very good. Very good. Boys, pay attention. She doesn't even go to Torah class, huh? The Lord loves justice. But maybe it is not ours to handle. And God says he will have compassion on his people when... What? Let's see if someone who studies this at school is learning, huh?
When their strength is gone?
Yes, very good. So, maybe we let God provide the justice. Maybe we handle these things in a different way. Not trying to be the strongest all the time.
Even Messiah?
He will have to see. But do not expect Messiah to arrive in Jerusalem on a tall horse carrying weapons. And he will be most pleased with those of you who are the peacemakers.
Hello, hello, hello.
This is my reason for being here.
We are live.
I still don't understand.
I am live. You are live. We are all live. Unless, of course, you're watching this later and you're not live. Then I'm not lying because right now I'm live. But
because even though
you
are
necessarily live. So if you are watching this later, thank you for watching and for tuning in. For checking out episodes 5 and 6 of season 1. That's what we're watching tonight. Episodes 5 and 6 of season 1. For some of you.
We may just jump through here. I'm not sure where that came from, but we did have permission to show this clip. So I'm not sure if our friends on YouTube were all excited about it. But he ends this clip by giving his mission statement, which we have come to know is in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. We won't take time to read it right now, but he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So we're gonna skip ahead here. There we are, doing the works of Jesus. We are glad you are here with us today. And God calls us, Jesus specifically calls us to do his works. So I want to take a minute and have you talk to someone next to you and explain to them what works did Jesus do when he was here. Go ahead. You can talk amongst yourself. What works did Jesus do when he was here? Should have a lot to choose from. All right, so the next slide says, why did Jesus do the works? Why did Jesus do the works that you just were talking about amongst yourself? Now ask or answer the question, why? Why did he do them? All right. I'm not sure if my phone's going to work today, Kelvin, but we'll be fine without it. Okay. So in Luke 4, it talks about healing the brokenhearted, setting the captive free, healing the blind, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And we could talk about a whole bunch of different works that Jesus did. So heal the brokenhearted is what he came to do. And yes, but there's more. See there, John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, some people think that's prosperity gospel, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking that if you become a follower of Jesus, your pockets will always be full of money and you'll drive the latest car and have all the latest gadgets. That's not what he's saying. There's an internal abundance that he promises. See? Next. Came to set the captive free, but as you can see in the verses there that follow, he is the Prince of Peace. See? That was his name, Prince of Peace. And peace that I leave with you, he said in John 14:27. Now, John 14:27 is in the upper room. This is amongst just his 11 now. Judas has already left disciples, and these are some of his last words. And he says, the peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let you be afraid. You know, this peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. You know the song? This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. See, it's from Jesus. So the craziness that's out and around everywhere, we don't have to participate in it because we have his peace. And our world, frankly, may be coming apart personally. Maybe coming apart. But he gives us peace. That's his promise. All right. Save us from sin. Oh, that's a great thing. Thank you for sharing that passage from John 3:16. But it's more than just salvation from sin. Look at the second half, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Lock into this a little bit, or a lot, actually. You know the story of the woman caught in adultery, and she's drugged before Jesus there in the public square, totally embarrassed and humiliated, for political and religious purposes, by the way. And they wanted to corner Jesus, and Jesus says to them, the one without sin cast the first stone. That's what he said. Then the law of Moses, that was the law, okay? And as we know the story, they one by one leave the area. And finally he says to the woman, where are your accusers, right? And she looks around, no one, Lord. You see, there's a big pink elephant in the room right now, if you pay attention to the story. There is a person standing in front of her who could stone her. Is that not true? There's one perfect holy person without sin standing in front of her. And what did Jesus say? The one without sin cast the first stone. Everybody is left except the one who is sinless. Who, according to the law, could stone her. And there isn't anybody there who could disagree with that. You understand that? Now catch what he says to her. The sinless one says to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Big hallelujah ought to come up right about there. You see, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come here to condemn you or me or anybody. He came here to save. Save. Since this thing isn't working anyway, I got to tell a story that I didn't plan on telling. Okay? So I'm 10 years old, right? And I'm a really good swimmer. By the age of 11, I'd passed all the swimming classes that they offered, and I wanted to take lifeguarding, but too young, right? So I'm up at summer camp. Some of you have been to Mibodin, and it's like a long time ago when there was really broken down cabins instead of those nice ones they have now. And I was taking canoe class, and it was a stormy day, probably waves about a foot and a half, 2 feet high. But hey, I know how to swim. I know how to canoe. And so I'm out with my buddy, and we're canoeing, and we got sideways in a wave, and it flipped us over, right? And so I got him back in the canoe, but I was so much bigger than most kids my age at that time, and it flipped back over every time I tried to get in. So I said, well, I'll hang on, you just tow me in. Well, he wasn't strong enough to tow me in. So I said, you know what, I'll just swim back. But it's kind of hard to swim with a life jacket on, the old style life jackets, you know, that come around your neck. Okay, you can't swim. So I said, tell you what, I'm just going to take my life jacket off. I threw it in the canoe. I'm going to swim back, all right? I'm swimming. Man, I'm swimming, 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 swimming. And I look up, take a break. I went, man, I'm not getting very far. I'm looking at Mibodin over there thinking, well, that's a long way away. Well, somebody saw the fiasco that we were in. They sent a boat, camp boat, out to rescue us. But the person in the camp boat could have looked at me and said, you're an idiot, which would have been correct, right? You're trying to do this all on your own? Well, good luck. I'm taking this guy back because he left his life jacket on and stayed in the canoe. You can just keep here and keep swimming, man. Just keep swimming. We do that as humans, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Okay, they picked me into the boat, and later I got to be the charge of the water ski back. I was older then, not 10. And it was a great time to be at Bible. But anyway, Jesus didn't condemn us. He didn't come here to condemn us. He came to save us. All right. Back up. Save us from sin, yes, but there's even more. Look at this. John 4:34. He came to finish his Father's work. Now pay very, 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 very close attention. Okay? Jesus came to finish his Father's work. Look at the next one, John 5:19. Jesus does the work of whom? The Father. Yeah, keep rolling it over. John 5:30. Jesus does the Father's will. Okay? We've got to go read this together, I guess. Okay, I'm going to flip it over to the Message. I think this is from the Message Bible. Okay? Nope, it's not. But it's still good. But if you want, read it in the Message Bible, or there's a new one by Tim Jennings, new translation or paraphrase called The Remedy. It's a good one, too. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. You see, there's no condemnation in Jesus. Okay? For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. So many people will say, I mean, I get on with Jesus. Jesus is cool. That Father business, man, he just zaps us every time we turn around. That's not what the Bible says. When Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more, he is saying whose words? The Father's words. The Father's words. When Jesus healed the paralytic, whose works was he doing? The Father's works. Later on, Paul will say that God was in Christ redeeming the world to himself. The Father and Jesus are in this thing together. You don't separate. We want to separate. Somehow our religious tradition and our culture has got us to separate. Yeah, Jesus, he's a cool dude. Jesus, I have a father. You know, he's going to burn you in hell. It's not what the Bible says. Okay? It says that all he has given me, I will lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent. This is the will of the Father right here. If you want to know what the will of God the Father is, it's right here. That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Wow. That's a cool Father. After we get into the first of the year, we're going to study the Lord's Prayer. But that first phrase, our Father who art in heaven. Our Abba is what that word is. Our Abba who is in heaven loves us. It's his will that when we look to Jesus, we don't get thrown aside. Okay, let's keep going here. John, well, let's just get our Bibles out. You can get them on your phone. My phone's not working right now, but maybe yours is. And or you can get a hard copy if you brought one in, or there's one back there. You feel free to get up and go get one if you like. But let's just jump into the Word of God. All right, John 8, 28 and 29. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. All right, I'm coming in through a back door right now, so I'm going to come around to the front and let you in, okay? We're going to be looking at John 14, verse 12, which is just ahead of, if you ask anything according to my name, I will do it for you. Verse 12, it says, you will do the works that I do and greater works than these. We've been given authority to do the works of Jesus. We're commanded to do the works of Jesus. But listen to what Jesus did, the holiest one. I don't say anything that the Father doesn't tell me to say, and I don't do anything that the Father doesn't ask me to do. Completely trustworthy. He didn't do anything on his own accord. And so when John says that the Father pours out the Holy Spirit without measure, he got the whole lot of the Holy Spirit into Jesus' life, because he did what the Father asked him to do, and he said what the Father told him to say. Okay? Not everybody was healed when Jesus was down here. A lot were. Not everybody. Okay? Jesus could have said a whole lot more than he did, but he didn't. So, you take a look at John 8 there, 28 and 29. I do, end of 28, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. I'm just guessing that if you and I do what God has asked us to do and say what God has asked us to say, whoops, let's back up, we will have the same amount of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 25. Chapter 10, 25 to 30. Okay? Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hands. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Are one. He says it again, and he says it over and over. And if your life is totally out of control, remember, here, Jesus says, the Father is greater than all. greater than all. Whatever you find, circumstance you might find you in, and I'm just betting, based on revelation, that our world's going to get a whole lot crazier than it is today. Okay? If you're a believer in prophecy, Daniel and Revelation, or you've been to a Tyler Long seminar, you'll know it's going to get a whole lot worse than it is today, and your faith in God will be tested. Will be tested. Okay, John 14. Look at this. John 14. He's now, we are moving from John 10, 11, 12, 13. We enter the upper room. By the time we get to John 14, Judas has left, and Jesus is with his disciples having this conversation. So try to put yourself into that upper room for a moment. And he's talking to his disciples. And he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus said in verse 9, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe and work, show up here, folks. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else at least believe me for the sake of the works. He says it again. This word belief, by the way, is not just a mental recognition of who God is or Jesus is. It's the same word used to describe Abraham when it said he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's an active word. That's a verb. That belief that Abraham had was a way of life. That was his default mode. You pushed his buttons, he went to Jesus. Now, he made plenty of mistakes, like the rest of us. But his default mode, when push came to shove, was Jesus. And that should be our default mode, should be Jesus. And if our default mode is Jesus, then we will be doing the works of Jesus. Look at verse, there it is, right there. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. It's the first half of that verse, 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. If you believe in Jesus, if you've accepted him as your personal Savior, your Christian journey is to do the works of Jesus. Not to do your works, not to pretend to do the pastor's works or some other evangelist's works, to do your works, Jesus' works through you. Thank you for that testimony, Mandalena. That's beautiful. That's in a beautiful example. I really didn't need to preach the sermon if you've been listening to the testimony. Okay? Felt the impression of the Holy Spirit to go back and have a conversation about salvation with this lady. Okay? That's the work. You understand? That's the work that Jesus came to do. He came to save us. And so what we're supposed to do is go help Jesus save other people. Okay, by sharing the love. Remember, we've been talking about love God, love others. Love God, love others. It's not about you, or it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Oh, we had a seminar about that. I hope you came. If not, you can go look it up on our archives. Or you can listen to Lee Vendon. Okay? It's all about Jesus. And we need to get on with Jesus. We've got to figure out how to live in relationship with Jesus and do the works of Jesus right now. Are you going to be totally bored when you get to heaven? Can I just throw that out there, by the way? You know, heaven is not about giraffes and dinosaurs and really cool water slides. They'll probably all be there, but that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. You understand, heaven is about Jesus. being in relationship with Jesus, and that can start today. So we're asked to do the works of Jesus. All believers, pure and simple, rich or poor, need to point people to Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Our job is to lift up Jesus, no matter where you are. A pause there. It doesn't matter if you're working at Boeing. Or you're at home working your own personal business. Or you're selling real estate. Or you're working for a department store. Or you're a chef. Or you're a student. It doesn't matter. We're asked to share Jesus there. Right there. You will be, I make anybody a bet. I'm not a betting person, but I'm going to bet on Jesus, okay? I'm just going to bet on Jesus because I know I'm going to win, okay? My twin brother always, when he and I bet, he always won. So I got to figure out a way to win, so I'm going to bet on Jesus, okay? No matter where you are, if you will walk into that space first thing in the morning and say, Jesus, help me witness to somebody on aisle 37 today, I'm just betting that when you're helping that person on aisle 37, Jesus is going to come up. It's going to come up. I cannot be the only one. I just tell you, walking through the market in Friday Harbor in the produce section on a Friday afternoon, someone is not feeling well. You kind of pick that up when you see someone who's kind of emotional, right? And you go up to them, you say, how are you doing today? And they go, you know the answer, I'm not doing very well. Well, tell me about it. 2 hours later, still standing by the tomatoes, we start having prayer about Jesus. I leave that conversation. This is Friday afternoon. I'm supposed to be getting ready for church, right? I go over to the other aisle, and Pastor Archie, anyway. His wife is in another section. I think we're looking for a house cleaner or something. I actually wasn't. I was just passing through, and I said hello to her because I knew who she was. And she says, you know that Sean Bootstra dude? Person. She's very etiquette. She has high etiquette. Not me. She wouldn't call him dude. Said, you know Sean Bootstra? I go, yeah, I do. Boy, I sure like how he talks about prophecy. So another 2 hours, I'm standing there in the market. It took me 4 hours to get out of the market in Friday Harbor that day. Okay? It's awesome. Or you can go down here to the fireplace store in Old Town Mount Vernon. I went down there one day looking for a collar to put on the stove at the shop that Ben knows all about, our place in Rush Harbor. And it turned into 3 hours of sharing Jesus on the sidewalk. I didn't bring it up. But I said to Jesus that morning, help me share you somewhere today. And that person brought it up, and we got to talk about Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do, point people to Jesus. It doesn't have to be me. Don Bryan is not somebody special, by the way. I'm just trying to walk every day where Jesus has asked me to walk. All believers, pure and simple, point people to Jesus. In our normal everyday life, we point others. That authority, this is in the, we do this the Gospel Commission, right? Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So now go, baptizing people, teaching all this kind. All the authority happens in Jesus. So if I'm in Jesus every day, if I allow him through his Spirit to live in me every day, I have that authority that Jesus has, and he told me, go and make disciples. Go and share me with other people. Go, share me with other people. That's what we're supposed to do. But you're going to do it in your own skin. You're going to do it in your own skin. See, that's the thing. My part of my testimony is I didn't want to share Jesus because I felt like I had to do it like everybody else. And I didn't like everybody else. I'll just be real honest. Okay? And I grew up in, you know, kind of a hypocritical time in our church. And we still struggle with that a little bit. Another story. You got another story today. Good thing the whole thing is broken, right? So I'm looking for a massage therapist. Been looking for a massage therapist since I left the island, okay? And I haven't really found one. But I think God brought me one this week. Okay? So I go to this place. I've gone there once before, but this is a new massage person, and she's about this tall. And I'm thinking, man, she could barely reach me when I'm laying on the table. But anyway, she started working on me, which made me elevate off the table because I'm so tight, and she pushed so hard, about slid me across the room. but it was great. And so she said, what do you do? Of course, make small talk while she's killing me, right? And I said, I'm a pastor. Of what church? This is Mount Vernon, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Oh, isn't God great? And she began to share with me how God led her to this massage parlor, this massage studio. And she was in Friday Harbor for the same time we were in Friday Harbor. She came over here 4 years ago, like we came over here 4 years ago. So she knew pretty much everybody. She'd been on Friday Harbor for 18 years. And we're just talking about Jesus on the massage, you know, between, we're talking about Jesus. Somewhere in the conversation, we get talking about lifestyle. Lifestyle. Now, if you knew her lifestyle, you wouldn't connect it with Jesus. Okay, she has a wife, and they've been together for 18 years. Some Christian along the way did not condemn her. She said that. She shares her testimony, and she said, when I heard that person talk to me that way about Jesus loving me, then I knew I could have a relationship with Jesus too. Now, I have a choice to say, oh, that person's all washed up. You better get it right. Or I can say, praise Jesus. Right? So I said, praise Jesus. And I said, why don't you come by our church on December 4 when we help the homeless? I don't know if she'll come or not. But I found my new massage therapist. Because my last massage therapist at Friday Harbor, I talked to him about Jesus all the time. Okay? Oh, man, I'm excited now for my next massage. We're going to talk about Jesus. You can do this, you guys. Really, if I could do it. I'm just going to be really frank with you. If Don Bryan, who ran from this for 10 years, can share Jesus on a massage table, then you all can share in some normal way. All right? We don't have a lot of time left. Okay? We got to get to work. Part two, right here, look at this. He says, and greater works than these you will do. You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we all have different gifts. Okay? But you can share Jesus. Whatever your giftedness is, it's important. Oh, man, I'm glad Ben is here today. My friend Ben from Lopez Island. You ever want some excitement? Go to the south end with Ben and lift a timber 30 feet in the air with a bolt ratcheted thingy. Strung so tight we could play Amazing Grace on it. And it actually goes up there and you start praising Jesus because it didn't break. Thing goes right in the spot. Coffee and donuts helped. It was awesome. Okay? That's true. I did go down there and do that with Ben. Pretty amazing. You can share Jesus like that. You can share Jesus anywhere. But you... in your gift. See, this is greater works. We don't all have to be exactly like Jesus, a carpenter who was an itinerant preacher. You don't have to do that. You can be a lawyer who's honest, full of integrity, sticks up for those disadvantaged among us. You can be managing whatever. You can be a stay-at-home person, whatever it is. You can share Jesus in our giftedness. We get to share Jesus. I'm going to give you an example. I did this for kids. You can give us extra credit, kids, in your math class. Or you can try this out on your parents. I told my kids in math, I said, you want to go home and tell your parents you want no more allowance. No more allowance. I don't want any more allowance. I'm all done with allowances. All I want is a penny a day, doubled every day for a month. They don't have to pay me any more allowance. Just give me a penny a day and double it every day for a month, and then we'll be good. So that was the extra credit math problem that I gave them. But you can see up here, if you were given a penny a day for a month, you'd have 30 cents. But if you multiply it, Jesus works in the power of the Holy Spirit through multiplication. See, we work through addition. But God has a multi-level marketing plan that's out of this world. Just wanted you to know that, because if you get a penny a day and you double it each day for a month, Kim was arguing with me about this. I said, no, seriously, let's go through it and do the math. It ends up being $5,368,702.12. I had no parents take up the kids on that request. But that's what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and he begins to work through multiplication. And he begins to just turn the world upside down, because there's greater power now than even when Jesus was here. Okay? All of our works, whatever they are, stand in the shadow of the cross. Thus, they are greater works. Each of us works in the authority of Jesus and in the victory of the cross. You see, even Jesus did his work in anticipation of the cross. You understand that? His greatest work was our redemption at the cross and his resurrection from the grave. That's what paid the price. That's the greatest work ever done. But his 3.5 years of walking prior to that was all in anticipation of the cross. Now we're past the cross. Victory has been won. The price has been paid. There's a great work to be done by sharing that with everybody. We don't have to share it in anticipation. It's done. He's coming back because it's done. That's what we get to do. So, go do the works of Jesus. You can go walk on water if you like. You can heal. You can pray for the sick. Set captives free. It is our intimacy with God that determines the impact of our life. But always remember, hang on to Jesus. It's not about you. If he gives you and I the privilege of working a miracle in his name, don't ever take credit for that. It's his credit. Our job is to go and tell. We're going to go tell. And we're going to sing this song. It's going to be a fun song. And if you want to talk to me about baptism or you want prayer, just come right up front during the song. If you want to clap, you can clap during the song. We need to go and tell people about Jesus. And we'll have prayer and enjoy a wonderful little reception potlucky thing for Layton and Kelsey. It's awesome. And go ahead and do an intro there, Holly. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Now go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Sing it again. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Now go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's a fairest of 10,000. Everybody
right on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere now go. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
That's what we get to do. I want to invite you to do that. Make a commitment to tell somebody this week about Jesus. We're going to have prayer. Again, if you want to talk to me about baptism, come on up front. Or if you want special prayer, just come on up front. When we get done having prayer, Holly and I, we haven't played together for a while, we're going to play this song again and have some fun with it. But we just thank you for coming here this Sabbath. Loving Father, we thank you so much for your love to us. We thank you that you came. You did the Father's will and works, and you said his words, and you just were honest and true and faithful to your Father. Lord, may we also be faithful to you and your Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we live each day to point someone to Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.